All right, hey, what's up, everyone? This is Tommy Walker with Conversion XL, and we're doing another episode of Conversion XL TV. Still trying to figure out a name for this thing, so bear with me while we get that worked out. Today, we have Georgiana Lotti of Unbounce with us, and we're going to be talking about webinars and how they started using webinars with their software company in order to get more qualified leads into their funnel, and basically the process of getting people there, how it converted for them, and how it's become actually their number one customer acquisition channel. Georgiana, thank you so much for coming on today. And I want to ask, because webinars are such an overdone thing now, especially with like the info marketing space, when you and Ryan, the director of customer success, were talking about doing webinars in the beginning, what was your initial reaction?
Groan. I was not looking forward to it at all. We were a much smaller group at that time. We were probably only 16 people in the company. I think marketing was Ollie and I. And so, yeah, we were running around like chickens with our heads cut off. And actually, Rick, our CEO, brought the idea to us because of we had questions about a feature that we had just released, and I was like, ugh, webinars, no, they're so done. They're over. This was like fall, I think, or late summer of 2012, and we were also like, I'm so busy, I don't have time for this, I got a million things on my plate, this is a whole new kettle of fish. So yeah, I was not looking forward to it, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, it is a really played out strategy. I think that a lot of the and I don't want to pick on the info marketers, but I think the info marketing space in particular really kind of tired it out, you know, in a lot of ways. And, I mean, the question is, how do you go from that sort of groan reaction, that first reaction, how do you get yourself to the point where you're like, okay, this is probably something that's going to be viable? Like, were you looking at data and statistics, or were you like, all right, we have to do it just because? Like, how did that part of the process work out? Like, what changed your mind?
Well, part of it was the audience that we actually attracted for our first webinar, which, like I mentioned, it was about a feature we had that we had released that we were concerned was being misunderstood. So we actually, our first sort of outreach and invitation to a webinar was really to customers first. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as a good marketer, I was like, okay, we'll throw in a couple of tweets just because. And it was even sort of risky to do that. I wasn't even 100% comfortable doing it, but we did it anyway. And then during the process of the webinar, Rick and Ryan are talking, and I'm the one on the GoToWebinar sort of chat window, and question after question after question came in about, you know, straight up landing page optimization questions. You know, how does button color affect conversions? Will video help my landing pages improve? You know, just straight up marketing questions. And I was like, this is not what we're supposed to be talking about. It just became really, really obvious that there was a big need and a big desire to get that kind of content from us. We had, you know, we made a lot of progress with our blog. It's very, you know, popular, well known, and that was like our sort of big piece. And then we worked into ebooks, and so this was just this new channel that people finally got to in real time ask questions. Mm-hmm. So it just seemed like the natural thing to do. Additionally, after the webinar, we looked at the list of attendees, which was, it was a slim, it was a very small webinar, but you know, as the first one, that was expected. But the ratio of customers to non-customers was shocking. It was like 30% or 40% were customers, and the rest were all non-customers. So that was the day that we sort of decided, all right, this is marketing now. We're gonna take this and run with it. And we sort of, that's when it sort of switched hands. I mean, Ryan is an awesome host, and so I wanted to keep him being, you know, front and center there, but it's a marketing run initiative, and we do it for lead gen, and that's, you know, we've had really great success with it, and like you said, it turned into our number one acquisition channel last year. So,
and what I think is really interesting about that too is that you didn't look at webinars initially. Like, I think a lot of people, when we're talking about, you know, webinars and lead acquisition and all of that type of stuff, we start there. Like, how do we get new people? What you did, and I just want to highlight
opposite,
that for a second.
Yeah.
Is the exact opposite of that. You basically took a channel that was going to be the least amount of friction to get in contact with your customers, which is huge, because a lot of people would just relegate that to email or forums or whatever, and you know, because you guys have a really great customer customer forum, I think that's fantastic. I've had a lot of questions of my own answered there. But you basically took that whole process of and said, like, what's the fastest way we can talk to the most amount of people? And then it turned into a marketing channel. Would you think that that was, if you were a software company now, like if you were some other software company, would you recommend maybe taking that route first just to get your cut your teeth on it?
For sure. And even from, you know, just if it had been marketing, I mean, you always try to start that way, right? It's like when you're trying to come up with your first ever blog post, when you're trying to come up with the first ever ebook you're ever going to write, the first question you should always be asking is, what do my customers or potential customers want to know? What do they need? And so in this particular case, you know, we wanted to try to fix the communication surrounding a particular feature, but it could have just as easily have been, we're looking for, you know, how to answer a question or solve a problem. So same sort of thing. But yeah, I'm always the type to sort of err on the side of caution to begin and start sort of small and organic, and then where does it go? Cool. Okay, now we're gonna, you know, change it a little bit, pivot a little bit, and try something else. Which is exactly what happened with this, and it worked out really, really well.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Now, you had said in a blog post about putting together, like, you actually have this really great resource for creating high-converting webinars, that the initial registration numbers were around 190 attendees. Now, first of all, was that for the customer-focused webinar, or was that for the first marketing-geared webinar?
I have to remember, I believe that was the first customer webinar.
Okay.
So the one that we didn't do, we just did some social for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it did go out to our customer and user list, which is significant. But the response just wasn't that great. So the people who attended were highly motivated. Because, yeah, it wasn't that compelling of an offer, to be quite honest. We didn't really know what we were doing. We were really experimenting. We were at a table with blankets around us, like, for sound and stuff. It was, like, this hilarious sort of setup.
Yeah, walk me through those moments. I mean, knowing that you're going into this sort of, like, if you were a rock star and you were going into what you thought was going to be an arena and it actually turns out to be a coffee shop crowd, walk me through those moments leading up to that first broadcast, knowing that there's not going to be a large crowd there. Like, what conversations are you guys having? What doubts are going through your mind? Tell me about that.
It was just, we really treated it like an experiment. I mean, we're sort of from that school, right? I mean, we're always gonna experiment in that way, and we were sort of treating it like it was a test and an experiment, and we're like, well, we'll just see how this sort of content does, and it was going to be a back and forth sort of conversational thing between Rick and Ryan, just to sort of explain really briefly what's Unbounce about, but now let's actually get into how it can be used with this particular feature, which was our multi-user and client management feature at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, days leading up, I mean, we saw the registration numbers. We knew they weren't great. We also knew to expect only about, you know, 30% attendance. So we kind of had a good idea what we were getting into. I didn't know, it was a surprise when we were being hit up in the chat so much with questions. I didn't expect that to happen throughout. I thought, like, we're going to open it up to QA at the end, and that's when we'll be slammed with questions. But no, it was slammed the whole way through. And, I mean, even after we made the change from it being sort of a learn from our customers and we turned it into something for marketing, you know, we did a landing page optimization one with Ollie just because so many questions had been about that. We actually would ask for questions in advance because we were like, we might not actually get any during the webinar, so yep. Let's like cover ourselves here and make sure that we have a Q&A. And so we would, you know, sometimes field questions in advance, or we would take questions from like an FAQ and just sort of not fake it, but you know.
No, you have to have those seeds there because you don't want to end up on a webinar and going like, all right,
it's the most awkward thing.
I've been on those before. I'm like, all right, anyone have any questions? And it's just like, crickets, all right, well, great. Have a great one.
no kidding. Yeah.
And then you're wondering why nobody signs up.
Yeah, but we never had that. We never had that problem, thank God. But we were prepared. Like I said, I'm always going to sort of, I'll always hope for the best but expect the worst, so we will cover ourselves that way. And it worked out really, really well.
Okay. Can you share with me the a rough idea of how that first marketing-oriented webinar converted? Because you have to have that sort of data to say, like, all right, we're going to keep pursuing this, and it's going to be something that builds on. You know, we already know that you said, we're going to take the customer-oriented webinar, answer those questions in a marketing-focused webinar, which is great because now you have content. But how do you take that and now go, like, okay, we're going to keep building on this, and what was the conversion rate originally, and then...
Conversion rate originally, I mean actual acquisition, like trial start kind of thing, yeah. I actually don't have off the top of my head. I could find it, but I would have to go digging for it. But honestly, what kept us sort of going, what kept the momentum up was the attendance, the registration. As soon as we switched to something totally geared towards just straight up learning about marketing, registration was amazing. The other big thing that changed actually about our registration was we switched from the GoToWebinar landing page, mm-hmm. to, which was the standard one that they give you, to an unbalanced landing page. It made a massive difference in our conversion rate. Obviously, I mean, I think it was something like 150% increase in conversions. Mm-hmm. So our registration skyrocketed, and our attendance was amazing. And everybody, you know, on the webinar itself, even to me, again, like in the chat window, was like, this is amazing. This is the best webinar I've ever attended. You guys have to do this all the time. I want to see this topic covered. And it was just, the momentum was enough that we were like, whoa, we got to do this again. There's no question we're doing this again next month. So it didn't really become about acquisition for us for the first, you know, 6 or 7 months, I'd even say. It was mm-hmm. just really like, let's just keep the momentum going. This has got to be a good thing. It's kind of like, you know, all the tracking necessarily wasn't in place. We were almost like, you know what, for now, we'll worry about that later. Let's just make sure we keep the momentum up and we keep doing awesome things that people enjoy. And then, you know, obviously my team got a little bit bigger, which helped a lot.
Right.
And then we were able to put the proper tracking in place, and we were like, boom, this is, you know, when we look at, you know, a 6 month period, the referral source for our trial starts from webinars, interestingly, not necessarily following a webinar, but even leading up to a webinar, but tied to those campaigns, were above and beyond everything else. I mean, in terms of every marketing channel from last year, removing, of course, things like word of mouth, but from our marketing campaigns, webinars were 35% of all of our new trial starts from last year.
Oh my goodness.
Which is huge, right? It was bigger than the blog. It was bigger than our ebooks. There's a couple of channels that we were like, wow, it was bigger than that one and that one combined, which was kind of shocking. And that's when we were like, all right, I got to write a blog post about this, you know, and sort of pick up the pace. And
There are a couple things I want to pull apart on that too, because if you had said, like, if you had stuck with your initial, like, yuck reaction to it, like, you would be missing out on 35% of, like, all of your new starts. So, like, that's just one of those things that goes to show you, like, if you are hesitant about trying a technique because other people are doing it, or if you're saying, like, I don't necessarily want to do that because everybody else is, like, if it just seems like it's played out, there's a reason why, and it's always worth experimenting with it. The second part of that is that you really focused on just keeping up the momentum in the first place because you knew you had to keep up with that demand. I think a lot of times, all of us in any part of marketing, we're going, all right, I'm going to try it. I didn't see a lot of effort. Or you try it, and then you want to try to put too much thought into the whole thing instead of just the actual execution and doing. You know, I know with conversion testing, I've with certain clients, we've gone back and forth about headlines and headlines and headlines and copy and all. Like, do we use this image or that image? And you start to overthink the process, and you lose momentum in there. So I think it's really cool that you guys did that. Now, bringing it to the actual starting to refine the process. The thing that you guys do, which is really cool, is like being able to hook it into Unbounce allows you to do the A/B testing and bring that conversion. What types of stuff were you testing when it came to signups?
On the registration pages, we've run a test almost every webinar we've done, so there's a long line there. You know, I mean, sometimes we would just, we take advantage, like, you know, we'll have tested including or not including a directional cue, or, you know, breaking up how the description is laid out, or, you know, encapsulating the form, like all those things that we talk about so often with, like, conversion-centered design, and on our blog, and, you know, standard sort of landing page best practices. A lot of the times, you know, there would be outside tests that we could refer to. We wanted tests that we knew that were done, you know, clean, that we'd keep the stats for, we'd have our confidence ratings for, we'd know what the exact conversion increase was. So a lot of times what we would do is just run as clean tests as we possibly could so that we could use them later on. We use them on the blog, we use them in ebooks, we use them during webinars. I mean, a lot of the tests, actually, I did a webinar about, I did the December webinar, our actual webinars was totally meta webinar about webinars, kind of like this one, and I had a ton, like a lot of the, all the tests, a lot of the tests that we ran were included in there. I'm trying to think of what were the major sort of ones.
I know you guys originally tested, like, the keeping the images of your hosts, right, or who's going to be on there, your guests, you know?
Yeah.
What was that kind of result when you're looking at, like, because my favorite so far has been the one with Rand Fishkin, right? When you start testing, you know, host image or who's going to be there versus not going to be there, like, you have an idea, but have you ever been surprised by any of the tests that you've done, I guess would be the question.
Yeah, we tried one for Social Proof once, which was a complete fail.
Okay.
We put a counter on the landing page that would display the number of registrants, and it would, because there's a max capacity, right, for GoToWebinar,
right.
So we have an actual cap on there. So we experimented with no number at all versus how many seats left versus how many had already been taken or whatever, and neither one of them really perform, like, we took it, we had to take it off. It was kind of disappointing. The design of it wasn't super strong. We could probably try again, and I mean, that's just the way the beast, and that'll always sort of happen, but the results were pretty disappointing. I think the conversion went down. It was single digits. It wasn't, like, mind-blowing, but enough that we were like, next month, scrap it. We're moving on to something else.
That's really interesting. You would think that, you know, playing off the scarcity vibe, that would actually, like, work out.
Totally.
All right, well, I'm going to switch gears for a second here. Yeah. Let's say I'm thinking about doing a webinar, but I'm not sure if people are going to attend. Where do I start?
Talk to your customers. Well, like the first thing I was mentioning, right, that it came with, like, the content, a sort of a guarantee win with content, right? What are your customers asking for? What is the community looking for? Just like when you go to write your first blog post or write your first ebook, exactly the same thing. You know, the most important thing is that the content behind it is super, super strong, and that what you're providing is of value, and somebody, you know, people are going to learn from it. And also, attendance doesn't really matter all that much. You don't have to have a ton of people in attendance for your first one. A huge part of the value of webinars for us is what happens afterwards. We get that, you know, we have that video forevermore available to us. We have it up on the resources page. You know, we eventually started to turn that into lead gen as well, because we would turn the original registration page into the get the recording page.
How are those doing for you?
Amazing, super, super well. What are they don't convert as well as obviously before the live event.
Right.
You know, those landing, our registration pages convert anywhere between 60% to 70%. Depends on.
Wow.
Depends on what the topic is. You know, how great were we at writing the title?
Right.
You know, things like that, and we'll test the title in our invitation emails, and then if one really outperforms another, then we'll switch the title up on the registration page. But yeah, even following the registration page being turned into that recording page, conversion's still really high on there. They're like 30% or 40%, and it's just to get a video recording, which is awesome. I mean, all these webinars have legs long after they're over. So attendance is really not, you know, the top.
Yeah, I think that's really amazing because you get to do, like, we're doing this right now. It's live, technically. I'm not actually showing this to anyone as it's live because I don't want to do some editing. But
right.
But yeah, I think that's pretty incredible is that by basically using, it's using all parts of the meal, right? You take it, you record it, you bring it out there, you can use it for lead gen later, you gate it. Are you guys, like, pointing PPC or anything at the old pages? Like, how... Are you doing anything extra, or is it just sitting there on the resource page?
No, the topics will come up, of course, right? In all the any sort of subsequent content that we do, you know, topics that come up on the blog, or I mean, I refer to them quite often. Often during webinars, we'll refer to past webinars or content that we've done a webinar in the past,
right.
So they come up again from time to time. But no, we're not running any paid traffic to those. It's not something we push very hard, but it is something that's always there and available for us to use when we need it. We've got a really, the bank now of these is starting to be really great. So that's really the best value.
It allows you to add more context to whatever conversation that you're having.
Yeah.
And I think that that's brilliant because why have the same two-hour conversation every time when you can just have it once and then point people to it?
Yeah.
So, fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, some people might think that webinars would only be useful for software or info products, but I'm thinking there might actually be some benefit in other verticals, like maybe e-commerce. Before you were the director of marketing at Unbounce, you were the brand manager at Terrafolia, an e-commerce company in the highly competitive floral industry. How might you adapt a webinar strategy to that kind of online experience?
Right. First of all, thank you for doing your homework. That's awesome. You know what? I kind of wish I could go back in time and do it because that would be so much fun. You know, even that was actually a brick and mortar business that we also had an e-commerce website for. So even sort of coming up for blog content, I mean, this is a while ago now, but there was no lack of things to write about. There's always going to be something that your customers need to know that isn't necessarily common knowledge. A lot of times you'll assume that your product is like a given. Like, of course people know they need to, you know, get red flowers when they're trying to woo someone. Who doesn't know that? Like, a lot of people don't know that. So, we would do a lot of content around like color therapy, it's called, actually. And it's like, you know, the different emotions, the different colors will bring out. Well, that would have been a perfect webinar topic for somebody. You know, I'm not an hour-long webinar, but, you know, a 15-minute or 30-minute, like, quick, like are you looking for the most appropriate, you know, buy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you not sure? Like, you know you need to do something, but you're not quite sure what? Like, just answering that question, because if you can help, you know, phone call after phone call of being asked the same question, you become really familiar with those sort of outlier questions that people are sort of desperate for the answers for, and just, I mean, provide the answers to those. Like I said, it's always about being useful, right?
Right, and it comes back to what we were talking about before when you originally started doing the webinar, it's not necessarily about webinar and getting all like, ooh, webinars. It's about using a platform that is reducing the amount of friction to get to your customer's question and to answer those. I used webinars before they became a big thing for a Christmas decorating client. These guys were high-end Christmas decorators, the people who would do like trees at the state Capitol building, right?
Right.
Things like that. And what we did, it wasn't necessarily a webinar, but it was still a live broadcast where we did three different product demonstrations, or they did three different product demonstrations of like, this is how you tie a fancy bow. Right, a fancy Christmas bow. This is how you do, a garland on the mantle, like a really nice looking mantle there. And really taking the products that were in their inventory and then showing people how to put them to practical use.
Right.
What was cool about that, there were a couple things that we had noticed that was really neat. was that one, people were saying, like, I just drove really fast and was breaking the law in order to get to this because it was going to be an amazing thing. And we just kind of put it out there on a whim, like we were thinking, you know, this would be something cool, but people thought it was really cool. But then the second part was that each one of the items that was being demonstrated in that particular live broadcast ended up having, like, I think 150% on average more sales because we were putting that item into context.
Totally, yeah.
So I want, if you're someone who's doing e-commerce, I want the takeaway for you to be that don't think that webinars are or some sort of live broadcasting format are specifically for info marketers or software companies. It's that the platform itself can be used as a way to generate more leads or more sales because you're putting more context around something that is normally just static images and text on a page. Would you agree with that, Georgina?
Oh yeah, totally. And particularly, for products that take like have a longer buying cycle, let's say. Mm-hmm. I was even thinking we recently wrote an ebook for HubSpot about using e-commerce landing pages, and we were describing people need more information. Like, imagine you're selling diamonds. Like, that's a big buying decision. There's a lot to know. A webinar about how to choose the proper cut, clarity, whatever, for diamonds would be super useful to a lot of people. And, I mean, I was thinking about this recently because of that ebook, and I would love to be hit with, like, give me an e-commerce, like, give me a niche market, and I bet we could come up with, like, a really compelling webinar for pretty much any of them.
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, if you were a retailer, you could do, like, style guides, like, lifestyle guides, dress somebody there. Like,
totally.
There's a lot,
like,
of cool stuff that you could
do. Yeah, like, lookbooks or whatever. Like, yeah, there's...
Yeah. Yeah, really, I mean, really, like, let yourself get creative around it, too. I think that's kind of the other big part, is let yourself get creative with the way you try to generate your leads. Don't just think that it's, like, you guys have a ton of fun on your webinars. So... there's something to be said about that. Just fun, be creative, be loose, and, you know, really just try to help people out.
Yeah.
Well, Georgiana, do you have any extra things that you'd like to say? Because we're going to wrap it up. I'm a little over time now.
I think that pretty much covers it.
Fantastic. All right. Well, where can we find you online?
I am on Twitter at GGIIAA, and of course on unbounce.com. And we actually just recently launched inside.unbounce.com, which is a blog basically about what goes on behind the scenes here. And weekly, every Wednesday, I write a blog post about how Unbounce is doing with its marketing and trial starts and performance and fails and things like that. So it's kind of cool.
Fantastic stuff over there, too. I think I love that transparency. It reminds me of what the guys over at Buffer are doing, too. I really love that sort of behind the scenes, let us know what's really working for you and not working for you. And
yeah, totally.
I love the way you guys do that. So, yeah. Well, thank you so much, Gia, for coming on. If you guys like what we're doing over here, please be sure to leave a comment below what you thought about the episode. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe. And thanks so much. We'll see you again soon.